Stay and continue on with the great blessings of the Lord Buddha. Sometimes it might seem a little bit odd to be talking about such things. Sometimes they're not directly related to the meditation practice. But we can understand these things as virtues and qualities of mind which come from mental development and can only come from mental development, which we cannot simply fake or pretend to possess. But until we practice to develop ourselves on the path of meditation and mindfulness, it's not very likely that these things will truly exist in our heart. So we can take it that these are the goals of successful insight meditation, and we can practice strenuously to achieve them. So the next set of auspiciousness or blessings, good signs, which are a sign that we are practicing correctly and have come to some sort of fruit in the practice, are as follows in Pali. Karavo ca nivato ca santuti ca katanyuta. Kalena dhamma savanam etamam kalamutamam. Karavo, respect. Nivato, humility. Santuti, contentment. Katanyuta, gratitude. Kalena dhamma savanam. Being able to hear the Dhamma, or hearing the Dhamma, hearing the truth at the right time. These are great etamang kalamutamang. These are great auspiciousness or great blessings, or blessings in the true sense. Now in order. Karawo, karawa means respect. The Lord Buddha taught that we, all people, would do well to pay respect to six things. The respect for these six things would bring great benefit to their lives, would bring great happiness to their minds. This is respect for the Buddha, respect for the Dhamma, respect for the Sangha, respect for the training, respect for appamatta, which I talked about yesterday, being heedful or mindful, and respect for hospitality. Respect for the Buddha means respect for the being or any being who has become enlightened for themselves. Becoming enlightened for oneself is not an easy thing to do. It takes at least four asankhaya, four uncountable eons. Sometimes eight, sometimes 20, sometimes many. The Lord Buddha Gautama, the Buddha we know, took him four asankhaya and 100,000 great eras, great eras. An asankhaya, four asankhaya may not seem like much, but at one asankhaya, they say, asankhaya means you cannot count how long. It's uncountable. You can't count so many years, so many centuries, so many eons. But they have a simile that says, 600 years of human life are one day in the angel world, in the heavens. In the heavens, one day in heaven is like 100 years in the human realm. Now suppose there were a large hole, someone dug a very large hole, or a canyon, you could say a canyon that was 7 miles long and 7 miles wide and 7 miles deep. And every 100 angel years, where one day in the angel world is 100 human years, every 100 years in the angel world, an angel were to come and drop a sesame seed in this very large hole. And every 100 angel years, another sesame seed, another sesame seed. Until the entire hole was full of sesame seeds. And then one by one they were to take the sesame seeds out again and again. You see, the time it would take to fill the hole up and then empty the hole again. Every 100 angel years, one sesame seed. This is the amount of time. And this task would be accomplished before Anasankhya was finished. And the Lord Buddha had to take four uncountable periods of time to become Buddha. This is something worthy of great respect, great reverence. For all of us, maybe we don't have any such aspiration. To become a Buddha, you have to know everything. For all of us, we are content with simply giving up everything. Lord Buddha also gave up everything, but he also knew everything. If you want to know everything, it takes four asankhya. It takes a long time. To simply give up everything doesn't take so long. We have a start at it here. We can come for 21 days, and this is a start. We start in this life. We develop ourselves. This is respect for the Buddha, respect for his purity. Lord Buddha was completely pure. No greed, no anger, no delusion, not even a drop of imperfection. He had great wisdom. Wisdom, they say you can't find an end to the Buddha's wisdom. And he had great compassion. That not only did he realize the Dhamma for himself, but he also taught other people. When invited to teach, he didn't refuse to teach. He never refused to try to give the right teaching, not for his own gain or because it was a duty or so on, but because he was invited to teach and because his heart was full of compassion, that when someone asked him to teach, he would never refuse. Respect for the Dhamma is respect for the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Even the Lord Buddha himself paid respect to the Dhamma. The Dhamma is those things which the Lord Buddha realized for himself. And the one thing the Lord Buddha paid respect to, he said, I couldn't pay respect to anyone else in the world. There's no one else as a Buddha. None of these other people are Buddha. So how could I respect to them? He said, I will respect the Dhamma, the truth which I have realized. And so he also paid respect to the Dhamma. The Dhamma is of two kinds. We have Lokiya Dhamma and Lokuttara Dhamma. Lokiya Dhamma is things that we develop in the world. The truth of the world. Or those good things, those good qualities which we have to develop in the world. We have the four foundations of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the postures of the body and so on. Mindfulness of the feelings. Pain and ache, sore and so on. The mindfulness of the mind, thinking about the past and future, good thinking and bad thinking. The mindfulness of the Dhamma, the five hindrances, liking, disliking, drowsiness, and doubt. These are called Lokiya Dhamma. These are things which are we develop in the world. And we come to see the truth of these things, the benefit of these things. Well, we use these things to see the truth. So they're called Dhamma. And then we come to see impermanence. Impermanence is a very important thing for us to see. And we won't hold on to bad things or good things. Sometimes something comes up and it's very bad and we want to run away or we want to change or we want to fix things. We can't stand the way it is, thinking if we don't do something it might never change. Impermanence means we can see that it's changing all the time. We come to let go of those things that we hold on to because we see they're not permanent. Even happy or good things. We thought it was good, so we try to get it again and again, and we don't see that it's always impermanent, no matter what we do. We can never make it permanent. Whatever good or happy things we have to let go of them as well. Don't go back to the past or look to the future for good things. When we let go of everything, then we'll be happy and then we'll be free. And then we can see suffering. Suffering is another very important thing. It's important to see where is suffering. When we practice, we will see suffering in places we didn't think was suffering. The ordinary state of a human being is they know they are suffering. They know there is pain and there is upset in their lives, upset in their minds. Even they don't admit it to other people, they still have inside. But they don't know what is the cause of suffering. They don't know what really are those things which are stressful. They don't know the truth about everything that they hold on to and attach to and want and need, and get upset about and worry about and fret about and so on. They don't see that these things are actually suffering. When we attach, when we hold on, when we cling to anything in the world, good or bad, we can't see that this is suffering. This is why we suffer. We can't see these things are like a hot coal or a hot ball of iron. That is something which will cause suffering. When we hold on to it, it will cause us suffering. If we don't hold on to anything, there's no suffering in the world. The world is a very peaceful place if we don't hold on to anything. We are happy among so many miserable people. We are at peace amongst so many unpeaceful people. This is suffering. And then non-self. Non-self is when learning to see that in truth of reality, there's only body and mind. Inside of ourselves or in other people as well, or in the whole world around us, it's only body and mind, body and mind. There's no him or her or they or them or us or we, or good or bad, self or soul or so on. All of these things are only concepts. The purpose of seeing non-self is so that we don't hold on to something as an entity, as an object. All the things that we are angry or upset about, this person, that person, there's no person. When we come to see that this is only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, only body and feelings and perception, memory, thoughts, consciousness, pieces of all many pieces that make up a whole. And all of these, none of these pieces are actually self or soul or me or them. We won't get angry at other people. We'll see that the other person is same as me, only full of many things arising and ceasing, or good things sometimes, bad things sometimes. We won't hold on to ourselves or other people. Good things come, we also won't think of it as an entity. We'll see it as things with many states arising and ceasing, coming and going. We'll come to see that it's actually dissatisfying. It's not self. It's not a real entity. It's only made up of body and mind. When we acknowledge seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and so on, when we acknowledge every moment, we'll come to see non-self. We'll come to see non-self in everything. Nothing in the world is mine or me or belongs to me or is self or belongs to self. So on. This is all Lokiya Dhamma. This is the truth which we come to see in the world. Lokuttara Dhamma is above the world, outside of the world, outside of the universe. Something which exists outside of mundane existence. This is the reality which they call Nirvana or Nibbana. It's the attainment of cessation of suffering. When we give up attachment to the world and the mind flies away, the mind is released. Even just for a moment, we see Nibbana, even just for a moment, this is great happiness, true happiness. This is the Dhamma, something which is worthy of respect. Someone who has seen Nibbana, then they continue to live their life as a normal